Today is taken out of the fourth chapter of the book of Exodus. Last week we were speaking to you about Moses being before the burning bush and God speaking to him out of the midst of this bush. And we find that God promised that he would lead these people, the Israelites, out of the land of Egypt, and that Moses was commanded to go to the elders of the Israelites and take them with him to Pharaoh and speak unto him and ask him to let the Israelites go out 3 days' journey in the wilderness so that they would offer a sacrifice unto the Lord their God. And that God was going to give so that this king would not hearken unto them, and that he would stretch forth his hand and do mighty wonders in the land of Egypt. And that when these people, the Israelites, were permitted to go out of the land, then they were not to go out empty, but that God would see to it that the Egyptians would loan unto them gold, silver, and jewels, and raiment. And now we find Moses still before this burning bush, and God speaking unto him. And Moses, he says unto God, "But when I go unto the people of the Israelites," he says, "they will not believe me. They will say, the Lord hath not sent thee, or the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." This was nothing else but unbelief on the part of Moses. For God had said in the previous chapter that they would hearken unto him, and that the elders of Israel would go with him to the king. But Moses here bluntly tells God that the people would say, "The Lord has not appeared unto thee." It appears that Moses, he had not much faith to believe that the people would receive the message that he was to bring to them. Knowing how unbelieving people were, he realized somewhat that if he went and did as God told him to do, the people would not receive him. Just as they did not receive him 40 years before, he thought it would go the same way with him now. My hearers, this man Moses, he also was subject to unbelief. He said the people would say, "The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." I see in this, my hearers, a type of a child of God. I wonder how many amongst my hearers are subject to something as Moses was. And there may be some amongst my hearers who likewise have experienced something of the Lord in their souls. And they have been spoken to, and they have been in distress. They have called upon God in their distress, and God has heard them. God has answered them, delivered them out of their distress. He has revealed unto them that he has a favor towards them. And now they are similar to Moses. It may be that they have been called to, even to an office. It may be that they have been elected, they have been voted in, and they refuse to accept the office. Why? Because of unbelief. They say inside, "The people will not believe me, even if I do tell them these things." That's what Moses said. The people will say, "The Lord did not appear unto you." And Moses did wish that the people would believe him, that they would accept him. And so it is with the soul. They do wish, when they speak and tell the things that God has done for them, that the people will believe and accept them. And my hearers, this unbelief robs souls and robbed Moses of the comfort that was designed for what God was calling him to. All unbelief, my hearers, makes God a liar. And this is what Moses directly said to God, that the people would not believe him. Unbelief is an awful sin. It's the sin of each and every one of us. It's something we come into the world with, my hearers, unbelief. And if we continue in unbelief, believe me, we most certainly shall perish eternally in our sins. And now this man, Moses, he was speaking unto God in a way that he desired that God would give unto him something to show that actually God had appeared unto him and had sent him. And God was so condescending, he says unto Moses, "What's that in your hand?" And Moses had a rod in his hand. And God said, "Cast the rod on the ground." And he cast the rod on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And then God said unto him, "Stretch forth thy hand and take it by the tail." And he took it by the tail, and it became a rod again in his hand. "Now," God says, "go forward now with this rod and show unto the children of Israel this sign, and prove unto them that the Lord God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob hath appeared unto thee." And now God said unto him, "Put thy hand into thy bosom." And he put his hand into his bosom, and God said, "Take it out." And when he took it out, it was leprous, white as snow. And the Lord said, "Stretch thy hand back into thy bosom." And he did, and when it came out again, the leprosy was departed. It was just as it had been before. Now this was another sign that he was to show unto the children of Israel, to convince them that God had appeared unto him, and that God had sent him to deliver these people out of the bondage in which they were in the land of Egypt. You see here that Moses, he had signs given unto him from God. God likewise spoke unto him and said that if they did not believe these two signs, then he should take water out of the river and pour it upon the ground, and the water that he poured upon the ground would become blood. My hearers, this was so condescending on the part of God towards Moses. How good God was to give this man these signs and to show unto him that he really meant to use him for this wonderful work. May I ask, how many signs have you had, my hearers? Are there any of my hearers who have had signs, marks, tokens given to you that God loves you, that God is leading you, that God has brought you on the narrow way? Have you never had some sign like that under the reading of the word, under the preaching? Probably when you were on your knees, you have had such communion and intimacy with God. You could confess your sins, you could bewail them. You really believed at that time that you had the ear of God. He's given you some signs and tokens that he has a favor towards you. And are you like Moses? Oh, how many of God's dear children are like Moses? Sign after sign. And what happens? They cannot believe. Unbelief robs them of the freedom and of the liberty to come out with what God has placed in their souls. Oh, my hearers, there are so many voices inside that rob us of our comfort. And likewise, the devil, he comes inside and says, "What, you a child of God?" He begins to point out to you your life, your conversation, your many slips, your many failures. And oh, when he begins to bring this all up before us, my hearers, we are sunk, believe me. Oh, we believe the devil, and we don't believe God anymore. You like that? I am. Oh, how often it's that way inside. And then what do we need? Why, we come up to the house of God, and God's so good, my hearers, just like he was with Moses. Oh, he gave Moses sign upon sign, and so he gives us. And what a blessing it is when we get a sign, when we get a token of God that we are one of his children again. Oh, how it revives inside. How all these enemies are subdued and how God reigns. And now Moses, my hearers, he was a man that was in this particular case very obstinate, very stubborn, very unwilling, and filled with unbelief concerning the mission that God wanted to send him on. And now Moses, he speaks again unto God. And he says unto God, he says, I am not eloquent. Neither since thou hast begun to speak to me or heretofore, he says, I'm a man of slow speech and of slow tongue. You know, my hearers, you would say, how is it possible? Moses, he had such a wonderful education in the land of Egypt. He had been instructed in everything what men who were gifted to be statesmen and men who were gifted to be leaders of a country were educated in. And now he comes to God and says, I'm not eloquent, he says, and I'm of a slow speech and of a slow tongue. You know, my hearers, eloquence is something that everyone likes. Not only natural people, but even God's children, or they fall for a person that's eloquent. If you have a minister that's eloquent and can set before you the truth in very plain and simple words and not use too many words, oh, it's a delight to listen to. I like to listen to it myself, my hearers. But you know, eloquence isn't everything. A man may be an orator. He may be gifted in this respect and be able to hold an audience spellbound. But what do the words bring? Have they any effect upon the hearts of the hearers? And still, when we are called by God to teach, to preach, a minister, for instance, he does like eloquence. And Moses, he looked at himself and he didn't have any eloquence. He had probably an infirmity in his tongue. He couldn't speak fast. He couldn't bring out any enticing words, any elegant matter, so that people would be spellbound, so that people would believe him. And therefore he comes with this excuse, I'm not eloquent, he says, and I'm slow of tongue and slow of speech. Oh, my hearers, I do wish that I was eloquent. I even ask God to make me so. Such are we by nature. But to be slow of speech, to bring forth words where God will come in and will use, where power is revealed in it, is much better than eloquence. And now, my hearers, Moses, he still refuses to go as God commands him to go. And now God comes to him and says unto him, Moses, who has made man's mouth? Who has made the deaf, the dumb, the seeing, the blind? Have not I? Oh, my hearers, how God comes to this man in this way. You know, I was thinking about this. Who has made the deaf, the dumb, the seeing, the blind? And God says he has done so. My hearers, have you got children? Were they born perfectly normal? Nothing wrong with them? They have their eyesight, they have their hearing, they can speak, they have their legs, their arms. Oh, be thankful. Be thankful to that great God in heaven above if he gives you a child that's well born. Because so many are born deaf and dumb. So many are born blind, my hearers. And what maketh your children differ? It's only the goodness of God. Are you well? Be thankful likewise to God. How many of our poor creatures who we see are afflicted in this way, deaf and dumb? They need to go to school to be instructed to convey their mind by signs. And my hearers, how many likewise are also blind? Oh, what an awful judgment it is. What an awful affliction to be born blind, not to be able to see. And how many there are that are in this state and condition in the world? And we know, for we contribute even to the help and to the support of schools that assist these people that are blind. And now God says here that he makes them. It's from God that people are deaf or dumb or blind. It's His judgment upon mankind for their sins. And now Moses, he was not deaf. He was not dumb. He was not blind. But truly, my hearers, by nature, spiritually, we are all deaf, dumb, and blind. We never hear the voice of God in our natural state. We may see the hand of God in providence. We may see something of His majesty, of His glory, even in the elements. But we have never received an ear to hear but the voice of God. We are deaf, and we are dumb likewise, spiritually dumb, for we know not the way of salvation, regardless if we have read of it and studied of it and have been able to teach others about it. If God has never begun to teach us, we are still spiritually dumb. And my hearers, we are likewise blind spiritually. All mankind is being blinded by the God of this world. What an awful thing it is to remain in this state, blind spiritually. Never see sin in its true light. Never see the way it is in Christ Jesus, whereby a sinner may be saved. Hear of it all your life and still remain blind spiritually. Oh, what a blessing if you can say with the blind man out of John chapter 9, he says, "One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see." Can you say that? Has God opened your eyes? Has He given you to see what you have become in Adam, your covenant head? And has He enlightened your mind and your understanding and given you to see something of the beauty, of the excellency, of this precious Jesus? Your eyes have gone open to see this one person, Christ. Oh, He is the one altogether lovely. He's the one that your soul needs. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, in this life, if God has opened your blind eyes and given you to see just these two things. There are more things which God will reveal unto you as you are led on this way. Or you will see something of the love, of the pity, of the compassion, of the mercy of this triune God towards sinners, including yourself. And now God, He speaks again unto Moses. And He says unto him, "Who hath made man's mouth? Have not I?" As if to say, Moses, you needn't be afraid to go to Egypt. You needn't be afraid to go to these people and talk to them. I have made man's mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and I will teach thee what thou shalt say. Oh, how condescending of God, my hearers, towards this man Moses. You would say, does he need anything else yet? Won't he go now? Does he need anything more yet from God? Oh, my hearers, He has made man's mouth, and He would be with Moses and with his mouth, and He would teach him what to say. My hearers, if God calls a minister and He gives him this text that I'm just speaking out, oh, what a comfort it is. I was thinking that in teaching and instructing. Oh, how simple it is. If God will be with your mouth and will teach you what to say. You know, He was with the mouth of the disciples. He sent them forth into His vineyard. And what were they, men? Ignorant men, never educated. They didn't have any learning like Moses did. And He was with them, and He was with their mouth. And now He promises to be with Moses and be with his mouth. And my hearers, I was thinking likewise. What a blessing it is when God will be with us and will be with our mouth, or we will be kept from much sin. You know, my hearers, we use our mouth so that we sin so against God. Oh, you are in the world and so am I. And what do we hear mostly in the world? What sort of a conversation do you hear? Oh, the cursing, the swearing, the filthy language that you must listen to from those that are round about you. Oh, my hearers, it's disgusting enough. And especially if you remember the time when you used to use that kind of language. I don't know if any of my hearers ever did, but I do know. And oh, my hearers, how do we use our mouth then? It's a disgrace. With our mouth, why we curse God, our Creator, who made us, and we likewise curse our neighbor, whom we should love. God teaches us that we should love him above all, and our neighbor as ourself. And oh, my hearers, how often do we use our tongue to run down our neighbor? Oh, what false testimony and what lies are spoken by this tongue of ours, including myself. Oh, my hearers, it's a shame that we have to speak that way about ourselves, but it's so true. The Apostle James gives us almost a chapter on the use of our tongue. And how do we use that tongue? What's in our tongue, he says. It's put on fire by hell, he says, and that's so true. The poison of asps is under our lips. And all my hearers, studying this lesson a little, I looked into the commentary. The commentary says, in the eastern part of the world, when people gave false testimony and spake lies, and then the punishment was that they took a piece of leather and they smote these people on their mouth with this piece of leather. And other times they took a bodkin, which is a blunt needle, and they stuck it through the tongue of such a person. And that was the punishment that was inflicted upon people that gave false testimony and told lies and were convicted thereof. Oh, I think, my hearers, we'd run out of shoe leather in this world at the present time, and also out of needles, if we had to inflict this punishment upon the people in the times in which we live. And believe me, it wasn't any better when Moses was upon earth. And now God promises Moses that he would be with his mouth, and that he would teach him what to say. Oh, my hearers, it's a blessing if God gives unto us a new tongue. And when we speak as with new tongues, has he given you that? Ah, there may be somebody amongst my hearers that says, there was a time that I didn't dare talk anymore. I was afraid if I spoke, I would sin. You ever have a time like that? I did. Oh, I didn't dare speak to nobody. If you know what a fire you got inside and God discovers it to you and you're afraid to speak, you go over this earth with a long face and the people are wondering what's the matter with you. They could wonder. Where before you used to talk so much and had so much to say, then you don't have anything more to say. And you know what a blessing? If God comes into our hearts and then we begin to use our tongue for the first time to his honor and to his glory. Have you ever used your tongue in that way, my hearers? Have you ever spoken well of God, of his word, of his son, Jesus Christ? Have you ever been on your knees praying to God, confessing your sins, which you never did before in your natural state? You never had any desire to get alone, to pour out your soul unto God and to tell him what a wretched sinner you are? You are using your tongue to the honor and to the glory of God. Oh, what a mercy when God raises us up and puts us into an office in his church, be it elder, be it deacon, be it even a minister, and we are given to use our tongue to his honor and to his glory. Oh, my hearers, this man Moses, you would think would be ready to run now. Why, he didn't have anything in the way. God would be with him. God would teach him. No, he still refuses to go. What does he say? He says to God, send by whom ye will send. In other words, send anybody else, but don't send me. He didn't want to go. He refuses flatly to go. You would say, how obstinate, how stubborn, and how unwilling is this man Moses. But over and against this, oh, how long-suffering. How kind and how good and how compassionate is God towards this man. You would say that God would say, well, I'm done with you. I won't have anything more to do with you. No, my hearers, if God is going to use you and God is going to send you out into his vineyard, all your objections, all your obstinacy, all your unwillingness will be overruled by God. Or he could in a moment have said, go away. But no, all his kindness, his compassion, his pity towards this man Moses. And he says unto him, Moses, I know that you have a brother, Aaron, and he can speak well. And now God is so condescending, he's going to give him an assistant. He's going to give him a helper. And he says, he will speak, and you will be unto him as God, and he will be as your mouth to the people. God then said that he would give him his brother, Aaron. Aaron, he was older than Moses, a few years older. And now, according to the commentary, it was due to Moses that Aaron had such a wonderful education likewise, that he also was learned and well educated in all things, but he also was gifted with to be eloquent, to be an orator. He could speak very well. Moses did not have this gift to speak very well. We see here God distributes his gifts amongst mankind. But now, Aaron, he never had the brains that Moses had. Moses was gifted with wisdom and understanding far above Aaron. But still Aaron, he was gifted with being able to speak very fluently. Not only was Aaron gifted in this way, but he also was gifted with grace. What a wonderful thing. Two brothers in the family, Aaron and Moses, they both had the grace of God in their souls. And they likewise had a sister, Miriam. She likewise was gifted with the grace of God. How wonderful God does in family sometimes. Sometimes every member in the family is born again, has a new life. Oh, where can we find a family in our midst like that? There are many families in our midst. There isn't one that is gifted with the grace of God. Why, today they're like needles in a haystack. No matter where you would go, they're hard to find. But here we have a family. The parents, the father and mother, they by faith put Moses in that little basket. They likewise had grace. And there's three children likewise. Aren't you jealous of a family like that? Have you heard of a family in our neighborhood that all the people had grace and you could believe it of them all? Wouldn't it lead to jealousy? Wouldn't it lead you on your knees and say, Lord, are you going to pass me by? Where God is so good and so kind in coming into each and every one of those persons' hearts, oh, would he not come into ours? And now this man, Aaron, he was told by God to come into the desert to meet Moses. Now we find Moses, he seems to be reluctant to go, but he still goes. He goes back to his father-in-law, Jethro, and he says unto him, let me return to the land of Egypt to my brethren to see if they are alive yet. He didn't say anything to Jethro, according to the scripture, about the wonderful meeting he had with God in the wilderness. He didn't say a word to him about how God appeared unto him in the bush and the wonderful communion that he had with him and that God was going to use him. Not a word. He just asked him if he couldn't go back to Egypt so that he would see his brethren that they were alive. Now this was right of Moses. This man Jethro, he had treated him very kindly when he came into the land of Midian, and he had given him to be a shepherd, and he had given one of his daughters so that he married her, and now he had two sons by this woman, and now he decided that he would ask his father-in-law and get permission of him so that everything would be right and in order. And the father-in-law agreed, and we find that Moses, he's going back to the land of Egypt. He sets his wife and his two sons on an ass, and off he's going to go. But now God comes to him again. And God says to him, Moses, now when you go back into the land of Egypt, take your rod with you. And with that rod you shall perform many signs and many miracles. And now, do not be afraid, because all the men that sought thy life, they're all dead now. God taking all the fears away from Moses. This might have been one object why he didn't want to go. He feared probably for his life too. And now my hearers, he's going on the way. And we have here in this chapter something which is very difficult to explain. Something maybe that you read, something maybe you're wondering what the teacher's going to make out of it. Did you? Or didn't you read the chapter at all? It says here distinctly that Moses was in the inn and God sought him to kill him. God sending this man to Egypt, God saying you would be with him, and now we find God seeking to kill him. What was the reason? Why did God want to kill Moses? Many things have been written upon this particular subject, my hearers, by commentaries. And the more that you read, the more confused that you become sometimes. But I was reading in Matthew Henry, and he says, to make it a little plain, a little clear, he says that Moses, he had a son, and this son was not circumcised. And now this woman, she was a Midianite, and she didn't favor that her child should be circumcised because it was too young. And now Moses, he loved his wife so much, so he consented with her, and he didn't let the child be circumcised. And now because they didn't circumcise this child, they didn't obey the rules and the commandments that God had given unto the Israelites. Therefore, God sought to slay him. He was disobedient. He didn't observe what God had commanded him to do. And then we read that his wife, she took the child and she circumcised the child. And she called Moses a bloody husband because of the circumcision. The commentary says that God had sent an angel with a sword. He was ready to kill Moses. And Moses, he trembled and he feared. But when he had his child circumcised, then the angel with the sword disappeared. And it says, and God let him go. This is the explanation that the commentary gives on this particular and difficult subject at the end of this chapter. And now after Moses, he gets into the wilderness and Aaron meets him. How long he had not seen Aaron, scripture doesn't give us any account. Probably he hadn't seen him for 40 years. And you can imagine when he met his brother Aaron. It says, and he kissed him. Oh, there was so much love and so much affection between these two brothers. They hadn't seen each other in all that while. You ever have somebody that was gone a long time, you hadn't seen them for so many years, and all of a sudden they come back and you met them? Some relative of yours, some son, some daughter maybe? Then you know how it went with Moses and Aaron. And not only were they affected towards each other in this fleshly way, but they were united together by faith, for God had sent Aaron to meet Moses. So Aaron had a commission from God likewise. And you know, two witnesses are better than one. God was going to use both of these men. And what a blessing, they were two brothers. And now Aaron, He was to be the spokesman for Moses. He was to convey the message, and Moses, he was to take the rod, and he was to perform these signs and these miracles so that the people would be convinced that God had appeared unto him and sent him. And now they both went back into the land of Egypt, the chapter says, and they appeared unto the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron, he spake all the words that God had spoken unto Moses, and Moses, he proved by signs and miracles that God had actually appeared unto him. And what do we read? And we read, and the children of Israel believed him, and they bowed their heads, and they worshiped God. You see where belief brings a person? Oh, it brings a person down to worship God. Oh, how thankful were these Israelites that God had raised up unto them a deliverer, and how sure they were now that this man was sent by God and God was going to use him. And they were so firmly convinced, and therefore they gave the glory to God. They worshiped God. Oh, my hearers, what a blessing it is. If God sends us a man, as he sent Moses unto the Israelites, if God should send us a man and be with that man's mouth and use that man in the midst of the congregation, oh, we have a blessing from God. He was a blessing, Moses, unto the people of Israel. God used him so many times. He stood in between these people so many times when they had sinned against God. By his prayers and by his intercession, he pleaded for them. And he turned away the wrath and the anger of God so often from them. He was a type of Jesus Christ in this as a mediator of the covenant. But likewise, my hearers, when we may have a man sent to us in this way, and then we may be sure that God will be with him, and that God will use him, and that he will not speak in vain, because he is speaking as God gives him to speak. He's God's mouthpiece. And what a blessing when we are such and are used by the Spirit of God for the comfort and for the upbuilding of his church. My time is gone, my hearers. Next week, the Lord willing, we will continue our lesson. You may say, you're so far behind, Mr. Van der Wende. How are you ever going to catch up? I thought so myself. I thought, what should I do, jump all these plagues? I don't think it would be proper. We'll try to continue from this point on, my hearers, the Lord helping us, the Lord instructing us, and giving us yet a door of utterance, and may it be blessed yet to your immortal souls. That's all for today.